Let's take a look at the Chapter 5 interest calculation worksheet. In the face-to-face class, we do these as we go through the presentation, and I noted in the presentation when we would work on these problems. So maybe you've done that or you've waited until now, but try to do them on your own first. Okay, all right, so now you're listening to me. Let's go through it, and maybe you're looking at the key. Let's read number one. Denise Hoyt borrowed $3,000 for 6 months at 9% annual simple interest. How much interest did Denise pay? Well, the formula is interest equals principal times rate, the annual percentage rate, annual interest rate, times the time in years. Now, there's the curveball. Sometimes it'll be in years, sometimes it'll be in months. I don't think we're going to do any in days. You can save that for your business math class. But here we have a principal of $3,000. She borrowed $3,000 at 9% for 6 months. So the formula is $3,000, the principal, times 9%. And how do you type that in your calculator? 0.09 times 6 months. Wait a minute. What do we got to do get months into years to calculate months in the... Well, what we have to do is take 6 months divided by how many months per year? 12 months per year. And some of you, you can do that in your head. You can say, well, that's a half, so I just multiply by 0.5 or divide by 2. Fine. But we wanted to make sure you understood the transformation that you have to do. You have to change the months into years. And you do that, you divide by 12. So if you calculate those three things out, you wind up with 135. Now here's a trick. You don't have to do it. You can do the calculation 6 divided by 12 first, and then use that number, which is 0.5. But on your calculator, you could type 3,000, and then the times button, then 0.09, and then the times button, 6 for the 6 months. And then here's the tricky part. Don't hit the equal sign. Just hit the divide symbol, 12, then the equal sign. And, there's lots of different ways of doing it. But if you like that, cool. If you don't, ignore it. Now let's take a look at number two. Julie Verley. Used a cash advance check from her credit card company to make a $300 purchase. Oh boy, these things, I don't know about you, but they send us these things all the time. Why? Because they're not stupid, right? They may be evil, but they're not stupid. The check comes with a 4% cash advance fee and charges interest from the date of the cash advance fee on the full amount, including the cash advance fee. Wow. The interest rate is 18%, which is not unusual. Which is not unusual for interest rate. My apologies. So what was the cash advance fee? And what was the interest for 1 month? Careful, some people forget that it's only 1 month. And what's the total amount of the bill? So we have to work through this together, right? A $300 purchase using a check from your cash advance check from your credit card company hits you with a 4% cash fee. So that's 300 times 4%. On one day, they make 4%. You multiply that by 365 days, and you understand why you want to be a bank when you grow up. So that's $12 they hit you with on the first day. So now your principal is $300 purchase plus the $12 or $312. Ouch. So now we have to compute the interest for 1 month at 18% on the $312. So the principal, 312 times 0.18, 18%, times 1 month divided by 12 months per year is $4.68. So if you get a lot more money than that, it means you multiplied by 1 month and didn't transform it, didn't change it into a yearly amount. Be careful, because that's going to be on the assignment, and it's also going to be on the exam. So be careful. There's the curveball. Be careful. So we have $4.68 of interest. So what's our total amount? $300 plus the $12 of the cash advance fee plus the $4.68. So it raises the price to $316.68. Assuming you paid it, you know, you paid it all off in full. If not, then you're going to get hit with interest in next month. And if you just saved up for cash, you okay, enough said. All right, now, here, number three and number four are the problems that we did in the presentation on home equity lines of credit. So you might have done these, you might have stopped and done these while you were listening or watching the presentation. And this is, of course, when we would do this in class together. We would do this together in the face-to-face class. So here's number three. Your home is currently worth $200,000, and your mortgage is $150,000. Okay, so let's say the fair market value. Somebody would, a reasonable buyer would pay $200,000 for this home, and you owe $150,000 on it. So what's your home equity? Well, that's $200,000, the fair market value of your asset, minus the existing mortgage, the first trust deed, as it's often called, of $150,000, and that gives you home equity of $50,000. So you see, you own one quarter, $50,000 of your house, and the bank owns the other $150,000. Isn't that nice of them to let you live there? And they own it, but no. You control. Your name's in the title. They just have a lien, as it's called, or a first trust deed, or a first mortgage. Or, if you're in the industry, they'll just call it the first. They'll just give it the name the first. So now, you go to a bank or a credit union, and they tell you they will allow you to borrow up to 80% of the fair market value. That's called the loan-to-value multiplier. So some companies will be 70%, some 90%, but 80% is very typical. So you take $200,000, the fair market value, what a reasonable buyer would pay for your home, and you multiply it times 80%, or 0.8. Be careful, right? 8% would be 0.08, so be careful. So you multiply $200,000 times 80%, 0.8, and you get $160,000. Now that's the maximum they're going to allow you to borrow. But wait a minute. Right, your existing mortgage is $150,000. You can't borrow that twice. Wouldn't it be nice if you could? No, you can't. So they're going to take that $160,000 and subtract the $150,000 existing mortgage, and they'll tell you, hey, we can give you a home equity line of credit for $10,000. Now, you don't have to use it. It's only there if you need it, if the furnace blows up or the roof needs to be repaired or whatever happens. And so you're prepared in case of an emergency and you don't have to dip into your credit cards. Because, as we said in the presentation, the interest rate's going to be a whole lot lower. It's normally tax deductible, the interest, depending, there's a few restrictions, but most of us working grunts, we won't have to worry about that. And then, what's the downside? Right, you know what the downside is. If you don't make your credit card payments, it ruins your credit, which is not good, but you won't lose your house. If you don't make your home equity line of credit payments, they will eventually foreclose. Now, they're not going to want to, folks. I mean, you know, the image of the evil banker, it is true. No. They want their interest. They want their money back, their principal. They don't want to foreclose. However, there are some, and, you know, there are some lenders out there that are unscrupulous. They have an ulterior motive, and they usually are in business in doing great guns when housing prices are going up smartly, when they're going up quite quickly. And this is what was going on in 2004, 5, 6. So let's read number 4. Foreclose on you soon.com, home lenders, is offering a 125% HELOC. Yes, yes, take advantage of the equity in your home to pay off all your credit cards and then run them all back up again. The man in the polyester leisure suit is so nice. And as before, your home is currently worth $200,000 and your mortgage is $150,000. So what's your home equity? It's still on $50,000, right? $200,000 minus $150,000 is $50,000. Since foreclosonyousoon.com is offering you a home equity line of credit of 125%, $200,000 times 125% is $250,000. 125% is 1.25, remember? And if you have trouble with that, just divide by 100, por ciento by 100, and you'll get 1.25. So the maximum they're going to allow you to borrow is $250,000. Wow. But remember, we need to reduce that by the existing mortgage of $150,000. So you take $250,000, the maximum they will allow you to borrow, and subtract $150,000, and yippee-ki-yay, you wind up with a whopping $100,000 of a home equity line of credit. Now again, you don't have to use it, but oh boy, aren't you going to be tempted. Buy a new car, go around the world, whatever. And if you used only half of it, $50,000, now you no longer own any of your house. You no longer have any equity. If you use more than half, you owe more than the house is worth. And when housing prices were going up, well, whoa, big deal. But if housing prices don't go up or if they go down, you are underwater. You have what is called negative equity. And in, you know, hard times, you'd be tempted to just walk away from your home. That's the plight. That's the problem. That's the downside. So remember that, folks. Okay. Now, make sure you can do those because they're on the assignment. But plus, this is important to understand. Number five. Now, number five is basically the same as number one, but it's a little tricky. It's a little tricky. And I don't want you to give up. And I also don't want you to drop the course if you can't figure it out. There's a couple of different ways you can do this one. Just think about it. Think about noodle on it. If you're math phobic, and how many people are in that category? Then I want you to work on it just for 5 minutes and then walk away and then come back to it later on. Ideally, you should go for a walk or play volleyball or run after the children or whatever, because this has already been shown physiologically that our minds love these things, that they love these puzzles, posers. Even if we're afraid of them, folks, don't worry about that. Because when you do the exercise, what happens is your brain then starts working on the problem unconsciously and starts making connections. And this is important stuff. This is how, you know, people like Einstein figured things out. They would go for a walk. And the exercise actually makes the brain work, helps the brain solve the problems. And so then come back to it. And if you can't figure it out, go walk away again, come back to it. And it is so often the case that you will just, in the middle sentence, you'll be talking, oh, I understand it now. Oh, I see it. Or you'll wake up and from a dream, or you'll be walking. The French have a saying called at the top of the stairs, which doesn't translate well, but it means you're going up to bed and you're thinking, oh, now I remember it, now I figured it out. So don't despair. And if you can't get it eventually, you know, talk to your children or talk to your parents or talk to your nephew or something like that and see if you can figure it out. I want you to have the same enjoyment that Einstein had when he figured out the theory of relativity. It came to him on a walk when he just said, aha, I am. Okay. I used to teach business math. I haven't taught it in a while, but maybe soon again. And I love math. My undergraduate degree is mathematics, so I love giving people posers and then seeing what they can do with them. And don't worry, don't relax, don't drop the course, don't freak out. For those of you who know how to do this, you're going, this is easy, but it's not. For some people, it's not. Everyone's different, and we want you to be awesome, and that is why we give you problems that help you be awesome and change. And grow. Awareness is the first step to change and growth. Be awesome, folks, and bring honor and glory to Southwestern Community College. See ya!